Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen. Let's really thank the Lord one more time, shall we? So good to see you. The Lord bless you richly. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Good to have you. Those that are in line, online, it's good to have you as well. Maybe you're in another part of the facility, the church here. It's good to have you too. Listen, anytime you see a video like that, that means that the third Sunday of each month is Love Never Fails Sunday. That's the day that we support the work we give to support the work that we do, our global work in Mexico, and also our local work at Halton Christian School. So don't forget that in the lobby there is the offering box, and make sure that you know the Lord leads you to give. We appreciate it. 100% of what you give for Love Never Fails Sunday goes all to the work that we do there. So you can go to the website, Calvary website, or Love Never Fails website, and you find out more about that and how you can get involved. A lot of things happening on this beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Relaunch is happening, and it's happening, I think, today, I believe. Yes. Grace Connection. It says, for the first time in more than a year, Grace Connection returns to the Koinonia Cafe. They're doing today right after this service. So it says instead of a potluck, they're going to be bringing food and drink and so forth. For more information on that, you can, of course, even now, not during the service, but you can email seniors@loveneverfails.com. Also, the marriage ministry is in full swing, heart to heart. They'd like to bless the parents with younger children who attend the fellowship. It says by providing childcare, they meet on the first and third Saturday of the month at 6:30 p.m. They do so in the Koinonia Cafe. If you're interested in serving as a childcare attendant, it says you can email the office at info@loveneverfails.com. It says this is a highly, highly over-the-top paid position. So it is a paid position. You'll get your reward in heaven. No. There'll be a dollar sign, and it's a good. You're going to make great money, amen. And you really mean that. It is a paid position, so don't forget. You can just email us info@loveneverfails.com. Also, we're relaunching Danielle and them. They're relaunching the Kids Church. The very first service in May, the very first Sunday in May, we will finally, after all of this time. It's been a long time, loved one. We're going to be able to have our kids' church in our first service. So that also means that we need help. And so I pray that, you guys step out and take up the slack, because they need servants in order to keep that going on. So, again, that happens the first Sunday in May. Also, the cleaning ministry. You know, this has been about, the fifth time that I have mentioned the cleaning ministry, that they have. They need help on Thursday nights between 4 and 6 o'clock or whatever. You know, I don't know that if you know this, but the people that do that, they work very, very hard. Amen? And I think that it would be deserving of us to thank them right now for all that they do. Amen? I mean, to be honest, let's be honest, guys. They clean up your mess. Amen? They make everything sparkle for when we come back to service. So if you're available on Thursday evenings from 4 to 6, listen, contact Debbie at loveneverfails.com. Please get involved on that. So speaking here on this, of course, Love Never Fails Sunday, our mission, Stephen Carroll, our missions director, they are on their way back. I speak right now from Mexico, and they were at the orphanage this weekend. So why don't we start by lifting them up in prayer. But before we do pray, let's do something. Let's open our Bibles first to Philippians chapter 3, and let me just read two verses to you that we're going to be covering. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 10 with me. Paul says, that I may know him, meaning Jesus, of course, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to, not our death, his death, and if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. With all that being said, the church says, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this just awesome, beautiful, wonderful day that you've given unto us, Lord. And we do start out this morning, and we lift up Steve and Carol on their journey home right now, that, Lord God, they're kept safe all the way back here, Lord. And let them not even be tired from this trip. Let them just be perfectly rested, Lord. And we pray also over Danny Robertson tomorrow, Lord, the scans, the things that they're going to be doing there at the hospital. And we just pray that when they look through his body, that, Lord, they're not going to find one thing, not one illness, not one disease, not anything. And that, Lord, he's perfectly whole because a great physician has attended to him. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, I don't even know how to pray anymore. This is April 18th, and we've already had 30 mass shootings this month in our nation. Oh, God, somehow, some way, our nation is oozing, Lord, just oozing blood. And not only that, there's a horrible division in our country, Lord. Sin revival. Because, Lord, we know that a house divided cannot stand. Oh, Lord, help us. Bring healing again to this nation. Bring unity again to this nation. And, Father, somehow, some way, please use me. Erase everything that I just taught and let it be all fresh all over again, Lord. Let me, everything I say, everything I do, bring glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. So you should be all already in Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul's letter, of course, written from prison there in Rome. And Paul the apostle, he's in prison. He's behind the bars. He's chained to a guard every day, 24/7. And, you know, Paul is not discouraged about this. You know, Philippians is called the epistle of joy. He's not discouraged because he knows that he is there for a reason and that God, using Paul, is advancing the gospel through the entire palace guard. And not only that, all the way into Nero's very own household. I would say God is using him. Amen? So here, when we look at this from last week, remember Paul gave us his personal testimony, how he went from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the apostle, and how Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and so forth. And so Paul made an evaluation of his life. Remember, beginning in verse 7 and following, how he verse 4 and following, he made a list of his life, you know, circumcised this day, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and on and on and on. He made 7 evaluations about his life. And he said, but when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know, I was going about trying to establish my own righteousness, which is according to the law. He said, but man, when I met Jesus Christ, everything changed. And I counted everything that I had achieved as Saul of Tarsus, I counted as rubbish. And we know that word rubbish means dung. In other words, it's just dog scraps. Throw it out the window. It's not good for anything. And now that he has found the Lord, and he comes up to us this morning, and he talks to us, remember from last Sunday, he says, I want to be found in him. And also, if you're going to be found in him, we have to be known as being in him. Amen? But this morning, we look at a text that is absolutely divine, and that's verse 10. Matter of fact, there's so much information in verse 10 and 11, I couldn't cover the rest of the text as I normally do. But when I look at this, and Paul, look what he says. He says this morning that I may what? Know him. I need to ask you a question. Does Paul know Jesus? Okay, was he saved on the Damascus Road by Jesus himself? Was he baptized with the Holy Spirit? Had Paul raised the dead? Yes, he had. I mean, he could send out his own little sweat rag, his handkerchief, and people would be healed, and demons would leave people's bodies, and so forth. I mean, Paul, he'd say, Paul, wait a minute, Paul, you want to know Jesus? You know Jesus. I mean, Paul had been translated where? Up into heaven. He saw things that could not even be uttered or spoken. And so he says, listen, I just want to know him. Paul is at the very end of his life. Do you understand? He doesn't have a long time left to live. And literally he says, I just want to know him. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you understand? I know that everyone here, you say, well, Bill, I am born again. Of course I know Jesus. No, but do you know him? Paul says that I may know him. Now, let's set this up so we know exactly what Paul is saying. In the Hebrew, the word know is yada, okay? And in other words, Adam knew his wife, and they bore a son named Cain. Remember? Okay, so the word yada in Hebrew is speaking of a deep personal intimacy. And matter of fact, there in Genesis is speaking of the sexual union between a man and a woman, meaning their married life. And so that's the deepest union you can have. And so Paul says, you know, there he's using a word when he says that I may know Jesus, that I may know him. The word yada translated into Greek is the word, or Greek word, gnosko. Now that word means to know by experience. Say that with me, to know by experience. Now, the question is for us this morning, do you know Jesus in that way? Because it's an intimate knowledge, an intimate communion with our Lord, where you are literally experiencing him. Now listen, you know, the problem today is all of us, you know, it says know him, not know yourself. We don't even know ourselves. Do you understand? It's like I told the early service, you know, I'm trying to find my inner man. I'm trying to find my feminine side. I don't have a feminine side. I don't want a feminine side. Do you understand? No, but I don't care. I don't want to know me. I don't even like me, okay? But I really like him. I don't want to experience me. I want to experience Jesus, amen? Now, that's what it means about do you know him? So Paul says, listen, I want intimacy. I want to experience that intimacy. I want to know him, the one who made the stars. I want to know him who upholds all things by the word of his power, by the one whom all things consist. I want to know, I want to experience over and over and over in my life the one who died for me, that saved me, that lives for me, that makes intercessions for me, and who's coming for me. Amen? So that's what Paul the apostle is saying. But listen carefully now. This is not knowing about Jesus. Boy, we get in trouble right there. I mean, yes, we do need to know about Jesus, but that's not what verse 10 is talking about. Now listen, Jesus wants every true believer to know this, that he wants you to experience him and vice versa. Amen? Let me give you the scriptures to prove that. It says in his high priestly prayer, and I pray it's been answered in your life, but listen to what Jesus says. In John 17:3, Jesus, as he's praying to God the Father, says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, gnosko, to know you by experience, to know you, the only true God. You know, if in that scripture that I'm reading to you, there is only one true God from the lips of Jesus Christ. All other gods are false gods. They're phonies. They're fakes. They're demonic. Did you know that? Jesus said, listen, that you may gnosko, know by experience, that intimate relationship, the only true God. And here it comes again. And to know gnosko by experience, Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Let me give you a couple more. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, or literally he's opened up our hearts. Why? That we may know. There's that word again. That we may know gnosko, know by experience him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus in John 10, he says this in John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. That's a good word. Again, I know by experience, I gnosko, I have an intimate relationship with my sheep. Amen? He died for them. He's the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. Now listen to this one. And I am known, there's that word again, gnosko, know by experience, my own. Again, that deep intimacy of being with Jesus and walking with Jesus and so forth. Now, I know that every believer believes in Jesus Christ, but do you know him? You see, you can know a lot about a person and never really know him. Amen? You can get a whole lot of facts, okay? In other words, so this word gnosko here, that I may know him, is much deeper than, well, I went to church today and I heard a sermon about Jesus. Much deeper than that. We need to do that. It's much deeper than reading the Bible and learning about our Lord, and we need to do that. But this is not what Paul is talking about. This is not like a theological position. This is an experience, not facts. This is not like Jesus 101, okay? He says, that I may know him. Now listen, that means to know the Lord by experience is an ongoing process. It is a growing, intimate, personal relationship with our Lord. And we have a tremendous, loved one, a tremendous advantage. You know, Jesus Christ, does he ever change? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, I mean, have you remained, can you say that about yourself? No, we've been changed. We're still changing. Look in the mirror, you know? No, man, listen, you know, do we have the same mindset of when we were a teenager? Dear God, I hope not. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, no, we've matured, we're changing. But see, Jesus, the thing about him, if you know him this week, you experience him this week, whatever you experience with the Lord, well, it's Jesus. He doesn't change. That same experience you might have next time, but it'll still be the Lord. See, he never, never, ever changes. What a great thing. Listen, do you want to know Jesus? In other words, to know by experience? Listen to what God the Father says in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man boast or brag in his might or his power. And don't let the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who brags, who glories, who boasts, boast in this, that God says that he understands and yada me. In other words, that's that Hebrew word, yada, that knows me intimately, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. God says, for those who want to come after me, those who want to really come to the throne of grace and find me, whatever it is, that yada, that experience that's so intimate, he says, I delight in those. God says, true success in this life is measured by you knowing, or yada, gnosko, knowing him. Listen, to experience our Lord, to really experience, I'm not talking about experiential Christianity, okay? Where I'm into experiences. I love to have experiences with the Lord, amen? With the Holy Spirit. But I'm not talking about experiential Christianity in the absence of doctrine. No, I'm not talking about that. But I do know this. If you want, you have to believe in your hearts right this minute and every day of your life that Jesus Christ is with you. He really is with you, amen? Remember what the Lord said? He said, lo, in Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I am with you always, always, until the end of the age, amen. That word amen means so be it. It is certain, it's immutable, it's unchangeable. Jesus is here with us right now. And not only is he here with us, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in me, the hope of glory, amen. Man, think about that for a moment. So, you know, you have to know that he is here, that he wants to lead you, he wants to guide you, and so forth. You know, the Bible says if you draw nigh unto God, he will what? He will draw nigh unto you. How does that happen? Well, it happens when you say to the Lord, you know what? I'm going to obey what Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Remember what he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we do something. And what is that? We present what? Our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, in which is our reasonable worship, the logical thing to do. So that means that we say, Lord, there's the altar, and here's my life, and you know what? I want to live for you. I want to live through you, and so forth. And that's how we do those things. You see, Jesus is someone that, yes, you have to study in the Bible and so forth, but you have to learn about him. To learn a person is a great thing to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:20, Paul says, have you not so learned Christ? He's talking about the contrast with the Christian and those in the world. See, we have learned Christ, amen? And it's so important that we do that. You see, in Ephesians 4:20, let me read to you again. But you have not so learned Christ. Did you notice that Paul didn't say you've learned a doctrine? He says, no, you've learned a person. You see, That's so important, that because, you know, you may know about Christ. He was born, you know, in Bethlehem. You know the virgin birth. All the things, you can add them all up and say, I have all these facts. But you might not know him, meaning to experience him. Someone told me in the first service, said, Bill, you know, I was thinking about what you said about experiencing the Lord and, you know, to really know him. He says, you know, I was flying out and my wife called me and said, man, I was in Weatherford and, you know, I've got, this is Peach Week or whatever it is, the Peach Festival. She said, man, I brought home some peaches, and she sent like a picture of them, you know, holding in her hand, and you know, they were right there. And he said, God, you know, that's good. He said, but I couldn't experience them because I wasn't home. But when I got home, I bit into it, and boy, did I experience it. Are you following me? Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, you can know all about a person, but you'll not, might not ever know them. You know, in the early service, I told the church, you know, that, for example, you can learn about people that are dead. How about, and I used Ronald Reagan, and or you can learn about Elvis Presley. I'm all shook up. You know what I mean? You can sing his songs, you can read all about him, his books, and be in fan club, but doesn't mean you know him. Do you understand? And, you know, I was out in the, when Rebecca and I lived in Las Vegas, you know, we were at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas there, and President Reagan, this is a long time ago, you all remember President Reagan? Okay, now, he was coming to town, and you know, I loved President Reagan, the great communicator, and you can learn, he's dead though, you can learn all you want about President Reagan, when he was in, you know, the whatever those movies is that he made and so forth, when he was an actor in Hollywood, up until even when he, who did he tell, Gorbachev, who was it that he told, tear down that wall, who was that? Gorbachev, we'll see if you remembered anything. You can study him all out. You know, and I met President Reagan, but I didn't know President Reagan. You see, he was coming to town, and the motorcade was going to go through a certain area. And I lived a couple of miles from where that was, where it was going to go. He was going to Wayne Newton's house. Remember Wayne Newton? You know, Donk of Shame, you know that one? I think it's the only song he ever, I don't really know anything about Wayne Newton, but I know this, his home was a mansion, man. It was, I mean, a lot of acres, and so there was a park right by his house, and I said, man, I'm going to go see the president when he comes by. So I'm right at the park, there's the road right in front of me, and all these people, they're cheering and they're screaming, oh, Mr. President, but I'm just standing there like this, and I don't know why I was standing there like this, but that's what I was doing. The motorcade was right in front of me. This is true. President Reagan, he rolls down his window, and he looks right at me and points his finger at me. And then all of a sudden I went, ah! You know, I got right in with it. Do you understand? Man, I saw his eyes. He saw my eyes. We were so close we could have touched. But I just know about him. Do you understand? He's dead, but Jesus is alive. We have an ongoing, living, dynamic relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, when we talk about learning, like it says, you have not so learned Christ. You know, you talk about, well, you learn a language or you learn some kind of subject, but here we're to learn a person, to experience a person. How is that done? Well, first of all, to learn Jesus, you have to do two things at least. Yep, number one, you have to take his yoke, and number two, you have to know his heart. And that is an ongoing process all of your life. It's called sanctification, where we go from glory to glory to glory. Amen? Now, with all that being said, did you know that Jesus Christ himself, he invites every believer to come and learn of him? In Matthew's gospel, 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Here it comes. Here's the command. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. Study me. Experience me. Watch me. Remember what they would do back in the old days? You know, the yoke. And they would yoke up an oxen. You'd take an old oxen who had plowed the fields for years and years, and they knew exactly what to do. They knew when the boss man said stop and so forth. You know, they knew the sound of his voice. And so they would take a young ox and put him there with the older ox so the older ox could train him. Does that make sense? Experience what he is supposed to do. Jesus says, you need to take my yoke upon you. And if you'll do that, you'll learn from me. For I'm gentle lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that wonderful when Jesus says, come on, come with me, learn from me, yoke up with me, travel with me, let me direct your paths, amen? Oh, listen, I mean, become, he says, I want you to become a student of my heart, the lowly heart of Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is only, you'll never experience, you'll know the Lord, but you will not gnosko the Lord. In other words, experience the Lord unless you yoke up with him and let him take you through this life. Amen. Listen, only as we follow do we experience the heart of Christ, the lowly heart of Christ. Remember what Luke said in Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter. He was talking about, or Jesus was talking about, you know, if you want to gain your life, then you have to lose your life. Isn't that odd? In other words, it can't be about you anymore. It has to be about someone else. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says in Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, here are the conditions. He says, the first thing you have to do is to deny yourself. That word literally means to disown yourself. You see, there can't be two masters. Amen? There can't be two. It's either you or it's going to be the Lord, Jesus. In other words, to disown means it's no longer your plan. It's no longer your strategy. And you know what? Don't you want it that way? I mean, come on. Everything I do, if I do it on my own, I always mess up. But when he does it, he never messes up. Amen? He always gets me to where I need to go. All I have to do is yoke up and let him take me there. All I have to do is follow him. And then that's how you experience the Lord. As you go down the road with the Lord, you have adventures with the Lord and so forth. He'll take you to places that you never imagined if you'll just follow him. He says you have to disown yourself, and then here it comes. You have to take up his cross daily. You have to die to self. Actually, we have already died, so you have to reckon it now as a fact. Take up his cross daily, and then that great word, he says, and you have to follow me. There's nothing greater than having an adventure in life with Jesus. That's when you truly experience him. Amen? He'll take you places, and he'll put you in a position to where you go, I don't know how I'm going to get out, and he says, don't worry, I do. Amen? He tells you to go do this, to be a missionary, whatever it might be in this world. And you know what? We get there and we go, what am I doing here? But the fact is, Jesus took us there. And that's when you start experiencing the things of the Lord, because you stepped out and you're following the Lord. And not only that, and it's only when we begin to think and act and react like one man do we really experience the Lord. The Bible tells us, remember Philippians 2:5, let this mind, it's a command by the way, let this mind be also in you which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know that we are to think and we are to act like one man, and that's the Lord. And as we get his lowly heart into us, and then we get his mind into us, you know what? We start experiencing the Lord. But the great litmus test of truly experiencing Jesus, loved one, listen, it says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who's born again, everyone who loves is born of God. That's the new birth. Now listen to the next part. And knows God. That word again, gnosko, to know by experience. Let me finish. And he who does not love, wow, does not gnosko, does not know God, for God is love. So Paul the Apostle, he says, listen, I want to know him. I want to experience him. And the way that occurs is found in the latter part. Look again in verse 10. He says, that I may know him, meaning again, to know by experience, and the power of his resurrection. This is very important that you get this into your heart. Did you notice that it said, not the power in his resurrection? You know, that one-time event that happened at Calvary. It says the power of his resurrection, meaning the ongoing power of the resurrection power that abides in every believer. Amen? So that's that. He says, I want you to experience, and he says, I want to experience the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Remember when he was praying for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1:19, he was praying to God the Father, and he says this. He says, may they know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Isn't it amazing that all of God's power is directed toward the believer? That's what it just said where I just read that. It says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. But his power is not only toward us, loved one, it's also working in us. Amen? And that's that resurrection power. Listen, the supernatural power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working in you. The same supernatural power that Christ ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, it is working in you right this minute. Think about that. Do you believe that? Did you notice? Let me back up. It says this, that they may know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Here it comes. Who believe? Do you believe? You see, if you don't believe, that's going to be stolen from you. And God says, oh, no. So this same power is working in us right this minute. It says in Romans 8:11, it says, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you right now. So the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Whenever you read through the book of Romans, what a great, great book that is. You remember it tells us that we have died with Christ and so forth? It tells us that we've been baptized into Christ. Let me read Romans 6:3 to you. It says, or do you not know that as many of us who were immersed or baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized or immersed into his death? His death is our death. Amen? His life is now our life. And so Paul is not talking about being immersed here like in water baptism. He's using that verse as an analogy, if you will. Now listen, the word baptize in Greek is baptizo. That word means to be totally submerged or immersed, okay? There's another word, babto, and that word babto means to be dipped, okay? Now, let me give you the perfect example about being baptized, immersed into Christ. There's an old recipe, it goes all the way back to early, early times, on how a cucumber becomes a pickle. You know what I'm saying? Okay, how do you make a cucumber a pickle? You ready for this? Okay, first of all, you take that cucumber and you babto. That means to dip and pull back out, okay? So you dip it, what is it, in boiling water or something like that, okay? So you take that cucumber and you hold it down into the boiling water, you pull it out. But it doesn't. That's not the change. Nothing happened. That was a temporary change. Do you understand? It just got all hot, all right? It was in boiling water. So, but then after you babto that cucumber, and you take it, what is, you put it in what? You baptize or baptizo, you immerse it in what? That vinegar or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Okay, what does it become? A pickle. You're no longer a cucumber. You're a pickle. Okay, now listen, what does that mean? It means that let me read the Greek. You ready for this? Greek word, baptizo. It means that you've been placed into a new environment, or into a new union with something else as to alter its condition or its relationship from the previous environment or condition. So what does that mean? We have been immersed. We have been baptizo into Christ. We have been permanently changed. In other words, Adam is gone. We are now in Christ. Does that make sense? See, I'm not a pickle. I may look like one. No, I am and you are a new creation in Christ. We have been permanently changed forever and ever and ever and ever. That is an experience, loved one, and that is an ongoing experience. Thank God we're no longer an Adam, we're in Christ, we're no longer a sinner, we're a saint of God, amen? Heaven is our home. Now listen, the Bible says in Colossians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized, immersed again into Christ, you have put on Christ. Now, Paul knew about this resurrection power. He wants to experience that every day in his life. Now, He knew that to experience that resurrection power, it would only be in proportion to these two things: the fellowship of his suffering and be conformed into his death, okay? So look at that part in verse 10 again. And it says, and the fellowship or the partakers that we partake or we have partnership in his sufferings. Now listen, you want to experience the Lord Jesus? Well, you do when you suffer. You understand? What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, as a Christian, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be made fun of by the world. Amen? You're going to suffer persecution. The world doesn't love us. Did you know that? The citizens of the world do not love the citizens of heaven. There's only one word that the citizens of this world use, and that is everybody needs to be conformed to their thinking, to the world's thinking. Amen? But we are being transformed. Now, with all that being said, it says in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing has happened to you. In other words, every believer is going to go through it in their life. He says, but rejoice, and here's the reason, rejoice to the extent that you share in, that you fellowship with, that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. And if you're reproached for the name of Jesus, in other words, if you're insulted for being a Christian and reviled, he said, for the name of Christ, he said, blessed, oh, that word means, oh, how happy, by the way, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory of God rest upon you. On their part, Jesus is blasphemed, but on your part, Jesus is glorified. You know, we don't rejoice because we're in the trial or we're being persecuted. We rejoice because we are counted worthy of suffering for his name's sake. Amen? Think about that. In other words, when the world treats you like it treated Jesus, don't fall apart. Amen? You don't have to fall apart by any of those things like that. No, not at all. You know, it says in Philippians 1:29, remember what Paul said? He says, for you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, and most believers stop right there. Oh, praise the Lord, we believe in him. It's through faith, through grace, and so forth we've been saved. He says, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. To suffer for his sake, not your sake. And the word suffer there in the Greek, nearly everywhere in the New Testament, it speaks of persecution, not because we messed up and got into trouble or some kind of sickness or any of those things. No, listen, becoming a Christian doesn't mean that your life is going to be trouble-free and that everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to like you. That's not the way it works. Now, it may be taught in some other church, but it's not taught here. Suffer because of persecution, not for your sake, but for his sake. Remember what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, He said, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, look at the next one about experience Jesus, to know him. He says, and that's a process, by the way, being what? Conform to his death. Conform means a spiritual process by which the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is conforming you inwardly in creating you in Christ's likeness. Remember what it says in Romans 8:29? It says that God has predestined us, each believer, to be conformed to the very image of Christ, his Son. In other words, where we start acting like Jesus and living like Jesus and loving other people, amen, forgiving like Jesus and so forth. So that conforming there is one that is inwardly. Now, the word predestined means that God is going to take you or make you to arrive at a certain destination. The life is a journey with Jesus, isn't it? We're being changed from glory to glory to glory. Loved one, that is the adventure. And you know, when we do that in that process, let me tell you something that I found, that being conformed into the image of our Lord is a series. It's a series of dying to self. Did you know that? Where it's no longer about me, no longer about, it's whatever you want, Jesus. It's a series of dying, and it's a series then after we are dying of resurrection. In other words, that resurrection life. You know, we lose our life. As I said earlier, Jesus said, you lose your life, you'll gain it. And that's what Paul is talking about right there. There was a great man in England. His name was George Mueller. He was a Christian evangelist, but he also created or founded many orphanages. By the end of his life, he had taken care of over 10,000 orphans. And someone came to him and said, "George, what is the secret, man, of your servanthood? What is the secret of you following the Lord like you do?" Because, you know, he was debt-free. You know what I mean? If you read his life, it's an incredible story. So let me tell you what he said in his own words after he was asked that question about the secret of his successful service. He says this: "There was a day when I died. There was a day when I utterly died. I died to George Mueller." Boy, isn't that a true word? That's what we all must be saying. There's a day in our life, and you know what? I died to Bill. I don't like Bill. He always gets me in trouble. He always wants his own way. He never wants to do what Jesus wants. Do you understand? I don't want that. I want to do what the Lord wants. He says, George Mueller said, "I died." He says, "I died to my opinions. I died to my preferences. I died to my taste and my own will. I died to the world. I died to the approval of the world. I died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and my friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God." Loved one, listen. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? But, you know, there has to come a time in every believer's life that we love the cross. See, the only way to experience the cross is to love the cross. Amen? And there's absolutely no other way. You see, in verse 9, remember when we covered it a couple of weeks ago, whatever, verse 9 is when Paul says, you know, "Not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law." I've worked all my life for that. He says, "Oh, but to be found in him, having the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Amen? So verse 9 is about our justification. We just as if we had never sinned. When we get here to verse 10, you know, it's that sanctification. We're going from glory to glory to glory as we experience our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when we get here to verse 11, this is something we have not yet experienced, although in God's eyes it is already done, it's already complete, and that is our future departure when we go and leave this earth and go to heaven. Look at verse 11 with me. He says, "If by any means," and it's important that you understand that Paul is in no way expressing doubt. He's talking about a future expectation, okay? He says, "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Now, that's that future experience, okay? Paul says, "that I may attain." The word "attain" means to arrive at a certain goal or reach the end of a journey. But let me read to you the resurrection of the dead, what it literally says in the Greek, because it reads this way. It says, "the out-resurrection from among the corpses," okay? Now, that's a strange word, isn't it? Talking about the corpses, meaning the wicked dead. The word, this Greek word, resurrection here that I'm reading to you, listen, it is unique to Scripture. It is only found here in the entire New Testament. It means a partial resurrection, if you will. And it's talking about a resurrection out from among the corpses. So what in the world is Paul the Apostle, what is he talking about? He's talking about the catching away of the church, the rapture of the church, loved one. He says, listen, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says, "Behold, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That word means we'll not all die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye." It's not a process, instantly, okay? "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible." The dead that are in the grave, they'll be the first people raised incorruptible, "and we shall be changed." Listen, isn't that wonderful to know? You're talking about an experience. Wouldn't it be, you want to talk about a great experience? Not having a funeral. Hello. Meaning you'd never go to the mortuary. No, I am out of here, man. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord has called away his church, and I'm going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. We call that the rapture. Go to verse 20 with me in chapter 3 there. Look what Paul says. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also, what? Eagerly wait. Phillips' translation, I believe, says, every believer is literally standing on tiptoe, waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, listen, we are citizens of heaven. This is not our home. One day when we arrive, we're going to find out that we don't have to pray anymore, but we're going to praise the Lord forever. Amen. Do you know that when we get there, listen to me, there'll be no more darkness? Think about that. That won't even be part of our vocabulary. Darkness, we'll never see darkness again because it says that the Lamb is its light, the Lamb of God. So here we are right now waiting for one of the greatest experiences of all. When Jesus comes for us, he comes, and I'm telling you what, and he's going to snatch us up and we're gone. And we're going to be with him forever. We're going to get brand new bodies. Is that going to be cool? Oh, listen, man, I'm eagerly waiting. Look what's going to happen in verse 21. Who will transform our what? Lowly body. Man, you have that on your refrigerator, that scripture? Lowly body. That it may be, what? Conformed, there's that word again, to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, or the power which makes him in command of literally everything that there is. When he talks about our lowly body, do you ever think about your lowly body as being vile, or unclean, or impure? Did you know what? This lowly body still wants to sin. It hasn't been redeemed. Our spirit's been redeemed. Amen? Oh, listen, to be an Adam, oh, that old man full of sin and lust. But in verse 10, it says we're conformed to his death. But here, we're conformed to his glorious resurrected body. See, we've been changed inwardly, but we are waiting on the day when we'll be changed outwardly. In other words, when our lowly body becomes immortal. What a day that's going to be when this which is perishable puts on the imperishable, if you will. You know, the Bible tells us about that day. Listen to 1 John 3:1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. He says, therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. I love it. Here it comes. It has not been yet revealed what we shall be. It hasn't been fully disclosed. We don't quite understand. It says, but we know that when Jesus is revealed, when he comes for us, the catching away of the church, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a day that is going to be. Loved one, listen, we have never experienced 100% total life. But in that day, it's going to be incredible. There no more sin. Do you understand? Oh, no more sorrow. No more. All those things are going to be gone. Our final transformation, that the glorification that takes place, the moment we see him, and you will see him, we will see him face to face. And the moment that happens, can you see us? We're going up right now. We meet the Lord in the air. We see his face, and instantly, man, I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You understand? He goes, hey, Arnold, how you been? No gray hair, not one wrinkle. I'm going to be like him. That's an experience, loved one. See, the whole Christian life, Christianity is Christ, is an experience. Man, are you living it? That's what God wants you to do. He wants us to live it, loved one, and experience. He says, and then everyone who has this hope, resting in his heart, this hope. In other words, when we see him, we're going to be like him. If you have that hope in your heart, listen to what it says, purifies himself just as he is pure. How do we do that? How do we do that? Yes, we walk worthy of our calling, equal in doctrine, equal in application, Ephesians 4:1, but here's how we do it. Philippians is a divine outline. So how do we keep ourselves the right way? How do we experience our Lord? Chapter 1, what is it? Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is not money. For me to live is not fame. For me to live is not power. Are you following me? For me to live is not, I've got this certain job or this certain woman or this certain whatever. That's not, Paul said, no, for me, the only thing that matters for me to live in this life is Christ Jesus. That's number one. Number two, if you're going to experience the Lord and purify yourself and walk and do the things you're supposed to do, then chapter 2, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind, that command, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 3, what is it? Verse 10. That I may know him, that I may know him, that I may experience him. And the only way that can happen is for you to walk with him, to be led by the Spirit. Man, the Holy Spirit lives in you, amen? To walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And then when we get to chapter 4, what is it then? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And the emphasis should not be on I can do all things. The emphasis is on Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Listen, we live in a supernatural world. This is everything that God did. We're a supernatural people. Did you know the gifts of the Spirit, loved one? The gifts of the Spirit, is that supernatural? For you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? I've seen that. Over 35 years of my ministry, I have seen so many people, not because of anything I have. I'm not the healer. If you know how many people I pray for in the hospital that died, you'd understand. Do you understand? No, he's the healer. I'm not the healer. But to witness that, is that an experience? Boy, you better believe it is. For the Lord to use you and experience with him. How about the upper room, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit? Not the new birth. I'm talking about the endowment of power from on high. Is that an experience? Well, if you don't believe me, if you want to know what that experience is like, go stick your finger in that electrical outlet over there. You understand? You're going to say, whoa, I got something. No, listen. Here's when we travel with the Lord, when we go down the path, he's saying, you come with me, Bill, come this way. It's an adventure. It's an adventure. And you experience the Lord. You have a koinonia, a fellowship, a deep intimacy. Let me just do this. Let me read one more scripture. Because as you follow him, listen, Jesus, remember, before he was ascended, he was telling his disciples, and he's telling us as well. It says, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't will be condemned. In other words, they lead these people to Christ. Now, listen to what happens to those that are led to Christ that believe. And these who believe, these signs, these miracles, these experiences will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents and drink anything deadly. It won't hurt them. Here comes. They will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Now, listen. You ready? We're obedient to what the Lord says to do? Listen carefully. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, set down at the right hand of God. Don't miss what I'm about to say. They went out and they preached everywhere. Here it comes. The Lord working with them. Do you see that? That's how you experience Jesus. That's how you're out there. He's right here. Look what he's doing. Look at that person that was just healed or that person that when a person is saved, like in the early service, people were saved. And that's an experience. That's a miracle. Amen? He says the Lord was working with them, confirming the word. How? Through the accompanying signs. Listen, if you want to experience Jesus, get in the race, loved one. I know you know him, but do you know him? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know him at all. That's great. You know why? Because Jesus is Lord. He died for your sins. He wants you to experience him. He loves you. Amen? Why don't we just do this right now? Every head bowed, every eye closed, every Christian praying. And you that are listening live, this pertains to you as well. Listen, if you have never asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, you can do that right this minute. All, you know, you don't even have to get out of your chair. You don't even have to come to this altar. But here's what you have to do. You have to demonstrate faith. And the way you do that, if in your heart you're saying, I want to be saved, I want Jesus to be my Lord, then here's what you have to do. You have to raise your hand to heaven right now and then put it right back down. Is there anyone here in the chapel this morning say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord? God bless you. That's right. Anyone else that says, Bill, that's me. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of the Lord. I want to experience the true living God. Hurry. Anyone else before I pray? Anyone else? Lift your hand high where I can see it and put it right back down. For those that lifted your hands, listen, I want you to do one more thing now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And you that are online, you know, that goes for you. You pray this prayer with me as well. Church, would you help me pray? Say, Father, I just heard the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And I want it. I want to experience Jesus. I want to experience the new birth. I want to be born again. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And we all say, amen. God is good. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, loved one. Listen, we're going to close out with a song. And if you need prayer, you come to the altar. Make sure your mask is on. And we're going to close out with a great song. I love this song. And you that lifted your hands, listen to me. I'm going to be departing over to the main lobby to the Welcome Center. But I have a free booklet that I want to give you, and you can pick it up over there. It's called Welcome to the Family of God. You need this book. You need it today to read it. You that may be online, you did the same thing. Just email me at info@loveneverfails.com and give me your address, and this booklet will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning. Well, I tell you, isn't God good? Oh, and if you're visiting with us, there's a free gift over in the main lobby too. I don't know, $100 bills or something, but it's over there. You can come and pick it up. Listen, when you leave this morning, why don't you go out and say, you know what, I'm gonna travel with the Lord. I want to know him. I know about him, but I want to experience him. And why don't you go out this week and say, you know what? That's what's going to happen to me this week. In my prayer time, I'm going to experience the Lord. Maybe around other people. Maybe God will, who knows what God will use you for? Lay hands upon people, lead people to Christ. But I'll tell you this, God wants you to experience him this week in Jesus' name. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, let's sing to the Lord. Amen.